This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick.
We don't have education. We have inspiration. If I was educated, I would be a damn fool.
That's the voice of the late Bob Marley, the most famous reggae singer in the world. He died in 1981 at the age of 36 from cancer. Had he lived, the Jamaican native would have turned 60 on Sunday. Roger Steffens was a friend of Bob Marley and is one of the people determined to preserve the late singer's legacy. He owns what is quite possibly the largest, most comprehensive collection of reggae music and memorabilia in the world, and much of it centers on Bob Marley. Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates visited with Roger Steffens in Los Angeles to tour his reggae archives.
Roger Steffens lives in the hills of Echo Park, a few miles north of downtown L.A. From the outside, his modest house sits on a sunny, narrow street, and it looks like everybody else's house. Inside, the airy first floor has comfy furniture and a wall of windows that offer a panoramic view of the city beyond. This ordered calm, says Steffens, is the result of a negotiation with his wife.
The archives actually fill virtually all of the downstairs of our house, but my wife, Mary, draws the line at the floor of the upstairs. She owns everything from here up.
Now, we're not talking a few shelves of commemorative beer mugs or a wall full of trophies. This is what Mary Steffens has put up with for more than three decades.
Well, there's 12,354 hours of tapes. There's 1,830 hours of video. There's over 12,000 CDs.
In all this, reggae titan Bob Marley is the most prominent, which makes sense. The walls in Steffens' downstairs are covered in posters and paintings of Marley at every stage of his life. There's a cherished postcard signed by Haile Selassie I, once the reigning monarch of Ethiopia. Selassie is an object of veneration in the Rasta religion, which Marley practiced. There are thousands of artifacts that people have sent to Roger Steffens for his collection from virtually every corner of the world. And in addition to more obscure reggae, there are Marley classics like this one. There's so much stuff. The Steffens family has moved three times just to accommodate Roger's reggae passion. But how did a middle-class white kid from the New Jersey suburbs fall in love with music from the Jamaican slums? Steffens says it started in childhood.
I loved black music. It was the music that moved me more than anything else in my life, much to the chagrin of my parents, who in suburban New Jersey just couldn't understand what this kid was doing listening to gospel music on Sunday morning.
And black rhythm and blues at night. Steffens liked rock until, he says, it was taken over by the lawyers and accountants. In the early 70s, when he was looking for another sound to love, he came across an article about a new music called reggae in Rolling Stone magazine. He still remembers the quote that grabbed him.
Reggae music crawls into your bloodstream like some vampire amoeba from the psychic rapids of Upper Niger consciousness.
Whoa, gotta get some, Steffens thought. So he sought out and bought his first reggae album. It was a copy of Bob Marley's first international hit, Catch a Fire. The rest is reggae history.
I went downtown. I saw Miss Brown. She had brown sugar all over her booga wooga. I think I might join the fun, but I had to hit and run. I just can't settle down in a kinky part of town. Right on.
Watch your step. This opens up into a secret chamber that we call the reggae decompression chamber.
The Steffens archives are crammed into several rooms. This room houses hundreds of video cassettes and CDs of reggae performances, and a precious gift from the son of a Marley band member.
I'm holding a 22-inch in diameter symbol. This is the symbol that Carly Barrett played on No Woman, No Cry.
Burning through the night.
People come from across the globe to visit Roger Stephens and use his archives. He also takes his knowledge abroad, lecturing on the significance of Marley's work, often to fans too young to have seen him perform. Marley has become a cult figure far beyond the reggae community. To Roger Stephens, that's perfectly logical.
The fascination with Marley endures primarily because we now have an ability to see the whole shape of the 20th century, and we know who the standout figures are. At the millennium, the New York Times said that Bob Marley was the most influential musical figure of the second half of the 20th century. Time magazine chose Bob's 1977 album, Exodus, as the best album of the 20th century. The head of Amnesty International says, "Everywhere I go in the world today, Bob Marley is the symbol of freedom." So he transcends music in a way that even John Lennon or Bob Dylan don't.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
Marley was especially interested in reaching the peoples of the African diaspora. Ironically, says Roger Stephens, most black Americans were cool to Marley's music originally.
In the 70s, black music was very much involved in get down and funky music. Bob stood in contradistinction to all of that glamorous musical affair. Bob dressed in street clothes when he went on stage, and he was talking about getting up and standing up, not getting down at all.
The popularity of Marley swelled with black Americans in the 90s when songs like Them Belly Full But We Hungry struck home.
Them belly full but we hungry. A hungry mob is a hungry mob. A rain a fall but it don't it tough. A yacht a yoke but you'd not enough. You're gonna dance to jam music, dance.
After living with this much Marley and reggae for over 30 years, Roger Stephens has come to the reluctant conclusion that he needs to pass virtually all of his collection on. But you have to wonder, how can he let it go?
I'm not letting it go so much as watching it graduate. As you can see by the mess in this place, I cannot keep up with it, you know? It needs to go somewhere else.
What he has now ultimately will go to the as-yet-unbuilt National Museum of Jamaican Popular Music in Kingston. There, the Stephens collection will have a prominent place. And those empty spaces in his house? Don't worry. Roger Stephens says there's plenty of Bob Marley yet to be discovered.
I mean, that guy never stopped making music. It's just extraordinary the amount of work he left behind that still has not been heard.
Which means Mary Stephens shouldn't plan to decorate her reclaimed downstairs space anytime soon. For Day to Day, I'm Karen Grigsby Bates.
There are photographs from Roger Stephens' archives and more about Bob Marley on our website, npr.org. Tomorrow, an interview with Bob Marley photographer Bruce Talaman.